I am.
I am. I am nothing. I'm no one.
I am no one.
Untouchable, unwise.
Unchangeable, unlovable, addicted, condemned.
In my eyes, I'm nothing.
But in his eyes, I am everything.
I am loved. I am accepted. I am not alone.
I am not alone. I'm free.
I'm free. I am free.
I'm nothing to this world, but I'm everything to Jesus.
I am loved. I am chosen. I am wanted.
I'm redeemed. I'm healed. I'm restored.
I am enough.
I'm baptized in his blood. I'm renewed. I'm sanctified.
I'm adopted.
I am a part of his family.
I am his son.
Yo soy su hijo.
I am his daughter.
I'm holy. I'm awesome in his way.
I am saved. He saved me.
I'm forgiven.
Forgiven of all I've ever done.
Of all I've ever done.
I have strength because of him.
I have peace in this life.
And the hope of one to come. I have his spirit.
And because of him, I live.
I am saved.
I am saved. Amen. He saved me.
I'm the son of a living God.
I am changing.
Because I am not who I was.
I'm not who I was.
I'm nothing to a world, but I'm everything to my Savior.
I am.
I am. Who are you?
Well, that's what we're talking about. Who am I? And understanding our relationship in Christ. And this morning, we are dealing and talking about that relationship and how it continues to develop. As I said, we're doing 6 weeks of Who Am I? And those are the six things that Jesus says we are as we look through the Gospels. And so last week we talked about I am valuable. And if you didn't get to hear that, you can always go online and watch it or listen to it on the internet and be able to see exactly what that is. It was a great start and basis for understanding all the other things of who we are in Christ. And sometimes we lose sight of that. Sometimes we forget who we are, and the enemy whispers into our head too many lies and too many things that we listen to, and then we lose sight of exactly who God wants us to know and understand and believe who we really are. And so this morning, we're talking about the significance that we understand that I am a friend of Jesus. I am a friend of Jesus. And so as we see that, we look at the scripture. He says, "You are my friends if you do what I command," John 15. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Teach us this morning. Help us to better grasp the significance of our relationship with you. And we'll give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. When we start to think about what it means when Jesus says, "You are my friends," he was opening us into a deeper level than what we've ever understood before. We can be able to see, and we'll talk about some of the examples in the Old Testament where they were referred to as friends, but as we can see this in the New Testament, this is not an exclusive relationship. We were born at a great time. We can all be invited into this relationship of being a friend of God. What an incredible thing. I think that we probably have minimized the significance of friend in a lot of ways. If you're on Facebook, you friend people, and they friend you, and maybe you even defriend some people for whatever reason. But the fact is that on that whole process, you may not even know this person real well, but they would like to get to know you better, so they friend you. And so you start in seeing that whole thing develop. Well, in some ways, as I said, this kind of minimizes that word and what its significance is. But let me help you understand a little bit better how powerful this statement is. Because he said, "You are my friends. You're no longer slaves. You are friends." There's a whole deeper level that Jesus is opening up to his disciples when he says that. Friendship is a significant thing. It's an important aspect. They've done many studies, and they've found out that when we are connected in friendship and relationship to others, It actually extends our lifetime. It lowers our blood pressure, if you have the right friends. Sometimes they may raise your blood pressure if you have the wrong friends. But ideally, as we understand, the more relationships that one has and the more connected one is, then it can actually lower blood pressure, cholesterol, and actually be healthier for your body and your heart just by having relationships. Why? Well, we start to understand a little bit when we see the whole significance, because I was created for relationship. You see, that's how God designed us. If God knows the billions and billions of stars, and the scripture says he knows them by name, if he knows that, he could have taken every one of us and stuck us on our own planet or star, and we could have just lived independently. But he didn't create us that way. He created us to be in relationship. He created us to be connected. Now, when we're frustrated or angry at anybody or anything, what do we tend to do? We tend to withdraw from relationships. We pull back. Wrong. Because we're going to feel more isolated. We're going to struggle more. We're going to have more difficulty with all those because we're withdrawing. And so we start finding it compounded, our feelings, our emotions, and all that's a part of it. No, we need to work through that and pull in, because that's when we can help let friendship strengthen us during that time. Same in your relationship with God. When you get angry at God because you don't understand what he's doing, you become angry because it doesn't make sense, whatever you're going through and working through, then what do you tend to do? You tend to withdraw and pull back. Wrong. You need to pull in closer than ever, because that's the time we need his comfort, his strength, his support. Even when I don't understand, I've got to make sure I can express my feelings. It's okay to say that you're angry with God. It's okay to say, I don't understand. This doesn't make sense. It's okay to work through all those feelings. But after we've got to pull back in and say, this is the only place that I can find the comfort that I need. It's the only place that I can be able to find the strength and the support that is needed as I walk through this time. Because if I remain angry and start to isolate myself and separate myself from God, then at that point, I feel a greater loneliness, a greater emptiness, and a greater loss. And so what we need to understand is, I was created to be in relationship. I was created for relationship with God. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. Now, that is not just in marriage. It's really in relationship. We're not made to be isolated. We're not made just to go off and be a hermit all by ourselves. We are made to be connected and in relationship. And so we find people in relationship actually live longer than those who do not have a relationship. Why? Because that's how we're designed. And if you function in the way that you're designed, you're going to have maximum life, maximum experience, all that's a part of that. And so that's why it becomes very important to understand what it means. See, I was designed in God's image and for friendship with God. That was how I was made. So I was made in God's image. And so as we try to understand the image of God and what that looks like spiritually, mentally, we talked about that last week, socially, and all of those kinds of emotionally, those experiences, we understand how we were designed to be in relationship with God and what that looks like. You see, if I'm in relationship with God, I'm going to find peace and joy, because that friendship that I'm going to have is going to be fulfilling in my life. When we worship, and like we did this morning, and we're hearing those words and thinking about what they mean, they do something deep inside of us, because it brings a joy, it brings a peace, and we have an expression of that back to God, because I'm in friendship with him. And so that is a powerful tool. I'll find joy when I serve others. Now, there's something very natural about this, and let me explain this to you so you understand it. The fact is, if we do what we're supposed to be doing, And let me be careful in how I'm saying this, but I want you to fully understand, even if you're not connected with God, you're going to find fulfillment in it. Let me explain further so you understand. You see, in your original design and how God wired you, He wired you to be able to be connected, to serve others, and in that relationship. Whether you have a relationship with God or not, if you're serving others, you're going to find joy. Everybody, you'll hear this all the way across. You find people who have nothing to do with God, but when they do humanitarian acts, like helping other people, they feel good about it. Why? Because we're designed that way. Now, if you have a relationship with God, you find even greater fulfillment because you're feeling and experiencing what His purpose has designed you for. So, are you hearing what I'm saying? That all of us, no matter what the relationship is, if you're doing what God's word says you're supposed to be doing, even if you don't have a relationship with God, you're still going to find greater purpose, greater sense of that. Now, if you get the fact that we're all connected to God and we have that relationship with Him, even more so, you find that fulfillment. And so there's a great importance of understanding, I find joy when I'm serving others because that's how we're made. That's how I'm wired. And so I was made to serve. And so when we come in the body of Christ, you're made to serve in the body. And so He calls us all part of that. So you should find, okay, well, what should I be doing? How should I be serving? Because there's greater joy when you're in the midst of the serving rather than standing on the sideline and telling other people what they're supposed to be doing. That's always a dead end. You're not going to be happy, and neither are they. So I will share values, cares, vision of life, and a desire to help one another when I'm in a relationship. You see, that's going to continue to increase when I'm in the relationship with God. I'm going to share His values. I'm going to share His cares. I'm going to share His vision of life. And I'm going to have this desire to help others. It's going to be part of what's going to happen. You see, I was invited into a friendship with God. I was invited into a friendship with God. So if we see, like, that is opening up God to us in a whole deeper level. And so when we see that, He says, this is my commandment, love each other in the same way I have loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends. Wow. Wow. You are my friends if you do what I command. So He tells us the great importance of this relationship. He laid down His life for us. And so He says, that's what we need to do. We need to be willing to give ourselves freely to others. I think about all of that, and I think how God calls different people, and He works in different lives. And Ryan and Melissa, as they shared this morning, and they're very committed to seeking God and to laying down their life to serve, and whatever that means. That's the commitment that each one of us needs to have, whether we're in Cambodia or whether we're in Milton or Lewisburg or the surrounding communities. We all need to have that same attitude and heart that God could be able to use in a great way because we were invited into a friendship. You see, God walked and talked with Adam daily. When He created Adam, He created him in relationship. And so He said, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. And so God was communing with them. He was with them on a regular basis, and they felt His presence, and they experienced that. And so they walked and talked with God. That is the design that God wants for each one of us. You see, if we're created in God's image, Adam started with the perfect relationship. This is how it was. He walked and talked with God daily. So if you're in the best relationship with God, what would God want you to do? Walk and talk with Him daily. So you don't put it off. You become more conscious of His presence in your life on a daily basis. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves because it's easy to forget. It's easy not to consciously think. But He tells us that, and there's books that are written called Practice the Presence of God. So imagine God right with you wherever you go because He is. So visually picture that. If you're driving down the street, picture him sitting in the seat next to you, because he is. If you're in any place, remember and realize God is with you. He is all about that. And so he wants you to understand this is the friendship that he wants. Now, you can't have a friendship that's one-sided, right? Do you ever have friends like that? I'm sure you do. Like, you seem like you're always the one initiating. You're always the one who makes the call. You're always the one who is connecting. You're always the one who's, you know, carrying the weight of this relationship. It doesn't get very deep when it's that way, because it's not both going both directions. It feels very one-sided. You can't get deep into any relationship when one person is always carrying all the weight. It's got to be a mutual thing. And that's what deepens a relationship. And that's why we need to, if in relationship with God, we need to make sure he's not carrying all the weight, but we're mutually responding and in this relationship. Now, we also know that Moses spoke to God as a friend. That's what the scripture says. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. And so there's this kind of thing, and that's what God wants us to do. He wants you to talk to him as a friend. Some people say, well, I don't really know how to pray. Really? Do you know how to talk? If you got talking down, and I think most of us did that pretty early, then you have prayer down. It's talking with God as a friend. It's making sure you have this relationship to him. And so that's what it's making sure we're understanding. So you talk to God. Talk to him about your cares. Talk to him about your desires. Talk to him about all that's a part of your life. And you're remembering to walk and talk with him daily. Abraham believed God. It was credited as righteousness, and God called God's friend. And so, because he had that relationship, he followed through and did what was necessary, credited to him as righteousness. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. What do you need to believe God for in your life? What do you need to say, you know, I believe God, because he says, I'll credit that to you as righteousness, because you're my friend. What an awesome thing. God invited all his disciples to become his friend when he said, instead, I have called you friends. I have called you friends. And so that's the relationship has opened up to us, that we would be friends. Now, friendship requires a response. And as I said, it can't just go one way. If you're going to be a friend, then it means that you're going to take a risk also. You're going to initiate, and it goes back and forth. So if you're the friend, as I said, who's always taking the first step and always initiating, that friendship's not going to get very deep. And if God's always initiating with you and you're not responding, then your relationship with him is not going to get very deep. I really feel God puts it on a level where we get it, and when he calls us friends, because we can understand it in the human, so it's, we can just transfer it to the significance of our spiritual relationship. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. You know, he's given us the wisdom and the knowledge to know him and what's a priority in his life as well. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. What does God want to teach you? What does he want to show you? What does he want to speak into your heart and life? Now, if you're not like in this friendship so you can hear his voice and you can be able to draw near to him, it's not going to happen. That's why he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. A whole lot of promises that are there. A whole lot of information that's part of that passage. You can be able to look it over and think about it even this week as you try to understand what this friendship means to you. Friendship with Jesus is marked by obedience. If somebody is your friend and you talk unkindly about them to others, are they really your friend? Are you really their friend, I should say? Are you really being a friend to someone when you're not willing to really engage in the relationship the way you need to? No. And so for us to say, I love God, but I just am not living for him. You don't love God just if you're not living for him. Those aren't my words, those are God's words. He said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. So if you really love God, then you're going to. Now, I do understand there's levels of growing. Because when Sharon and I got married 33 years ago, we understood very little about love in a deep relationship. But after all these years, we keep understanding more and more and more. We're growing in love for each other. And if you ask either one of us, what was your best year of marriage? We would both say the last one. Because every year, our love gets deeper, we grow more in understanding, and it continues to get better. Now, that's a love relationship that develops. And that's what happens with God. Every year, my relationship gets better with God because I know him more, and I understand him more, and I pour more of my own heart out to him, and I develop in this relationship. I'm more obedient than ever before. So, friendship with Jesus is a reciprocal relationship with both giving. Reciprocal, going back and forth. I give, he gives. He gives, I give. Because he says he loves me. We love him because he first loved us. So he did the first giving, and then we respond. But it's got to be reciprocal. It's got to go back and forth. We've got to make sure this giving is both ways. The fact is, as we look, friendship with Jesus is marked by its influence on each of us. I love this verse. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized they were unschooled, ordinary. Unschooled and ordinary. So they didn't really have a whole lot of knowledge. They hadn't gone to Bible college. They hadn't gone to seminary. They were unschooled. That's what it was saying. These are ordinary men. They were ordinary people. But when they saw the courage, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Do people know that you've been with Jesus? When you come into a relationship or a situation and you leave, has it been elevated? Has it been strengthened? Has it been lifted up? Because if I have a relationship with Christ, people should see that difference in me. And so when I leave, they go, wow, you know, you can just experience Jesus by being close to them, by knowing them, by being in relationship with them. Because that's what we should. His influence should be stamped all over us. And that continues to light, to continues to shine in every relationship and every dynamic that's a part of my life. The fact is, friendship with Jesus is a building process. One of my favorite, and find out what pleases the Lord. Find out. Let me say this. God does not hold you for a lack of understanding. He holds you for a lack of obedience. And so if you don't understanding what God is doing and directing, like, does he get angry with us and does he want to strike out against us? No. If your child came to you, and maybe some of you had a dysfunctional relationship, and it's a little hard for you to envision this, but let me say, if my child came to me and they said, I don't know what you want me to do, I wouldn't smack them around and say, I told you once, I'm not telling you again. I mean, come on, really? And I'm sorry if you grew up that way, because I know some did, and it should never have been. But let me tell you what, your Heavenly Father is not that way. He would say, you don't understand? Let me say it a little more clearly. Let me say it in a different way. You got it? No, I still don't understand. Okay, here, start reading, and I can tell you a little bit more. Okay, this still isn't making sense to me. Is God angry? No. God's going to continue to help you understand and open up and teach you, because that's what a loving father does. He says, find out what pleases the Lord. I have to continue to discover how God wants to work in my life and what pleases him and how he is working. Now, friendship with God has no middle ground. Let me say that you may need to understand there's, when we're in a relationship with God, there's no middle ground. And that's, unfortunately, some people are in that place. In fact, I think probably many are from time to time. And it's the most difficult place you could possibly be. Kind of like one foot in the world and one foot with God. And they're not really fully committed to God. And they're not really fully in the world. They're just kind of either or. And you say, I don't know. It's a really hard place to be. It's a hard place. It's not a fun place. You're constantly in turmoil because you're not fully committing yourself to anything. I mean, if you fully just jump into the world and don't give a rip about anything, okay, that's what you're doing. Or if you're fully committed to God and you're saying, Lord, whatever you want, I'm yours, then we have a relationship that's fulfilling, that is meaningful, is purposeful, is significant. But if you keep trying to please the world by your life, you're going to find emptiness and conflict and difficulty, and you're always going to be in turmoil. You just have to finally say, no, there's no middle ground in this. I'm fully God's. That's what I'm going to do. Because he says it this way, you adulterous people, adulterous meaning you have a relationship outside of your primary relationship, right? Adultery is when, you know, someone goes out on their marriage partner and they have a relationship with someone else. So he calls us adulterous if we have a relationship with God, but we're going out and having a relationship with the world. You see, we can't be in between. And that's why he says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. In other words, there's no middle ground. You can't some days be a friend of the world and some days be a friend of God. There's no middle ground. You can't do that. You have to make a decision to say, all right, which way am I going? Which way am I headed? Am I going to be a friend of the world or a friend of God? You see, friendship with the world will exclude friendship with God. So if you think, oh, well, I haven't really made this decision. Oh, you've made a decision. By not making a decision, you make a decision. You see, you can't be in between. You can't be kind of in, kind of out. You have to be all one or the other. What does God say? I'd rather you be hot or cold, or otherwise I'd spit you out of my mouth. Because we're lukewarm. We're kind of in between. And if you're in between, it excludes a friendship with God if you're a friend with the world. Now, I think there's a lot to understand what it means, but let me just say it simply. If you're trying to please the world, you can't please God. Pretty simple. If you're trying to please the world, you can't please God. So I can't please people. I've given that up a long time ago. I tried real hard, and it just doesn't work. But you know what? I can please God because he gives me exactly what I need to do and follow to please him. I know how to live it, and so I'm doing it. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Pretty simple. Friendships reveal our character. Let me say this. Show me a person's friends, and I know the person. Show me their friends, I know the person. Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Now, I'm sure there are some relationships that you have or a project, and you're trying to win them to Christ or to work on that or to whatever, and I'm sure there's some that are in that. But you start to know a whole lot about a person when you see all the people they talk to and all the people they're in relationship with. Because friendships reveal our character. They speak about us. And they start to speak about what's important to us and what's valuable to us and all the things that are a part of that. So we have to start understanding that no matter what, Bad company will corrupt good character. God's words. So, if you have a whole bunch of relationships that are negative, a whole bunch of relationships that are bad news, you may hope you're not being influenced, but you are being influenced by that on a daily basis. Because whatever you spend the most time with is influencing you the most. It's just part of it. We're all influenced, and you can say, I'm not, but we are. And so it becomes an important part. Friendships with the world will demonstrate jealousy, gossip, envy, divisions. So when we have those friendships, we're going to struggle with these even more so. Scripture says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill, you covet, but you cannot get what you want. You quarrel and fight, you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. A friend of the world. We have to make a decision to be a friend of God. And so what's the formula for friendship with God? James gives us these six words: submit, resist, come, wash, purify, humble. Let's look at them. Submit yourselves then to God. So that's the first step. So you have to say, I want to be a friend of God. So what do you need to do? You need to say, here it is, Lord. Whatever I have, it's yours. I'm giving it to you because I'm submitting my will to your way. I'm submitting my life to you. I'm trusting you with what you want to do through my life. Resist the devil. And so I'm going to say, I am not going to open myself up to the enemy. I'm going to make sure I'm saying no to whatever he's trying to pull into my life. And he will flee to you. Come near to God. So I draw near to God, and guess what? He draws near to us. So I'm saying, Lord, I'm yours. I'm resisting all those negative thoughts that the enemy would like to throw at me. And I am saying, here I am, I'm fully yours. I am going to find your power because I'm coming near to you, and you promise you're going to come near to me. Wash your hands, you sinners. Father, forgive me for anything that's been in my life that's kept me from being yours. That's wash your hands. Purify my heart. Father, I want one thought. I don't want to be double-minded. I don't want to be in the world and in a friendship with you. I want to be fully yours. And so purify my heart that I might be all that I can be for you. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. And so I say, Lord, I'm yours. That means humble. Humble, what does that mean? It means it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. I'm yours. And so I'm fully saying, Lord, here I am. I want to be a friend of God, and I want to experience that. Let me close with prayer. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, I want you to do this. If God's been speaking to your heart and you're saying, you know, I want to be fully a friend of God's, I want to stand right where I am and just say, Lord, I am fully yours. God's Spirit spoke to my heart this morning. I realize that I'm struggling in the world and out. I'm kind of working back and forth. But this morning, I just want to say, here I am. Maybe you're going through a particular struggle that's a part of your life. And maybe there's some aspect of a relationship or something that's really been a struggle for you. And you've been trying to kind of keep between, but it's not working. And this morning, you just want to say, Lord, here I am. I'm fully yours. Would you just stand right where you are? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Anyone else? Just stand right where you are because God's been speaking. Maybe it's a relationship at work. Maybe it's in the family. Maybe it's in a friendship. Maybe it's in some way that you've just been struggling. And you're saying this morning, no, Lord, I'm fully yours. And I want to be fully yours this morning. So I'm just saying, here it is. I'm giving myself. And you'll stand right where you are. Anyone else? Praise God. Amen. 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 Father, thank you for each one that is standing. Thank you for the faithfulness of your Spirit to work in our hearts, to speak to us, and thanks for wanting to be our friend. That's so incredible. It goes beyond what I could even imagine or think, that God would care that much for us, that he'd want to draw near to us, and he'd want to be our friend. Thank you. Father, we come this morning and we just say, here it is. All I am, all I have, it's yours. I want your will. I want your way. I don't want to be caught between. I'm fully yours. Father, take each one that is standing and has humbled themselves right now. Use them, Father, for the kingdom to make an eternal difference. Let them see that you want to come near to them. Let's all stand together. Father, thank you for letting us in to that relationship as a friend of God.